greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club. The most exclusive club for men in the country, where every Saturday we're going to talk about taking an animal, throwing it on some scorching fire, and turning it into the most tantalizing, tasty morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but we don't drag our women into the caves by the hair. We're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure women into your cave and keep her hair looking good. We don't use clubs. We use Smith & Wesson, Bowtech, and Abu Garcia. When you want to find the center of the grilling universe, you look at a map of North America and just look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys. Peace, love, and barbecue.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend, last one in February. We got 29 days this month. We get an extra day this year.
It's a bonus month.
366, the bonus month. What are you going to do with all that extra time, Barbecue Bob?
Travel.
Travel, yeah. That's your life right now. You get
it's that time of year.
Tis the season when you're out seeing all your dealers all over the country, and they're getting genned up for what should be an early spring, and should be a lot of fun. But we're going to be outside today, and I'm looking forward to that. We're going to do a little barbecue for our GI barbecue. Why don't we talk a little bit about that? What's going on?
Yeah, our good sponsor of Van Andel and Flickama, Chrysler Jeep on Plainfield, is hosting us and GI Barbecue today. The butts have been on the smoker all night. They were just beautiful this morning when I got up. I wrapped them, and they're going to be absolutely perfect. So when we pull out of here, we're going to head out back to my place, pick up the big smoker and the beans and all that stuff that's been smoking, and we're going to go spread the love in northern Grand Rapids. So if you're out on the North Plainfield area in Grand Rapids, stop on in. It's a donation thing. Jop picked up a bunch of nice buns from the Schnitz Bakery, and man, it's good. We've got some good original wine. They're American Stockyard sauce that we're going to be putting on those, and you're going to get to taste the thing that GI Barbecue is going to be bringing to our troops.
Got a quick question for you in that whole rundown there, is that you said that you got up this morning and you wrapped those pork butts. Why do you do that?
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, it's a pretty dense piece of meat, and we cook it for a long, long time. And if you want to get it up to an internal of 195 to 202, you've got it on the heat so long, you can literally dry the outside out. So what we like to do, what Jop and I do, is we get some tin foil out, aluminum foil, and I'd used this morning chicken broth.
Right.
Sometimes I'll throw a little pumpkin beer if it's in the fall. I'll throw some Jaw Jacker or something like that in there, and put a little spice to it. But you just want to hydrate them just a little bit and then wrap them up in foil, throw them back in, and bring that temperature up to about 198. I like to pull them. They tend to hit the wall at 165, so I pull them at about 145 and wrap them, and then you throw them back in, and they'll run up to about 165, and they'll stay there for about an hour. It's funny
it's
how they
weird
stall.
How that,
yeah, and that's typical of brisket or butts. But then,
you want to get that done to about 198.
That's what I like.
Right, is the number. Now, this is significant if you're smoking pork butts, because you don't want to go up into that 215, 220 range, because you're never going to be able to pull it. It turns into mush at that, and you've got just a pasty.
You blew it.
Yeah, absolutely terrible.
Make some burritos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't have to throw it away. You just jar it up for baby food, because it's not going to have any texture.
You don't want anybody seeing it. Wrap it up with some beans.
Yeah.
It's all good.
But anyway, so we're going to be doing this for GI Barbecue. Let's bring everybody up to speed. We talked a little bit about it last week on the show near the end, but GI Barbecue is taking a little bit of a twist, and we're going to need your support on this. We'd like you to reach out to us on Facebook and give us an idea of a military base that you know of where there are some troops returning from overseas, because we were going to take this thing overseas and drop in on a military base, and logistically, it's become evident to us that it's kind of impossible to do.
That's right. This whole thing got started because my son got orders, and I can say it now, for Bagram. We were going to bring the stuff to Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, which is a gigantic base. There's literally 20 mess halls on that base. So Sharing one smoker around 20 mess halls would have been a logistical nightmare for them, but I have a feeling they would have shared it gladly.
Right.
Unfortunately, the culture in our military the last few years has been one of retreat, and they're all kind of politically correct and scared. They don't seem to have the same culture they had when I was in, and they're under attack, I think, by people in our own government that don't want to support our military, and that's tough to watch. But so we're going to support them right here back in the U.S. because they will not stop us from bringing them onto U.S. bases. Trust me on that.
Right. We're going to have a little bit of fun, but we thought we might, because we don't have to package it all up and send it over in one full swoop, that we might break this thing into two or even three, because our partners have really stepped up, and we've got a lot of meat, a lot of sauce, charcoal, all the fixings. And I think our friends down at the Texas Gator Pits, they can give us a couple smaller ones rather than this one big 20-foot unit that we were going to ship over there. So we're working with everybody to pull this all together. But again, you as our listeners have been so very supportive of this that we wanted to throw it out there to you that, hey, give us a suggestion on where you think we should go, because this stuff's coming from all over the country. We've had support from a lot of places. And Bob, you were out east this week on a trip and happened to visit one of our sponsors for GI Barbecue, didn't
you? That's right. We had a very generous contribution by Henry Repeating Arms. The man's name is Anthony Imperato, and he's the president of Henry Repeating Arms, the largest repeating arms maker in the world, and their headquarters is in Bayonne, New Jersey. And I got a chance to visit with Mr. Imperato and tour the factory. Wow, I love guns. This is such a cool place. It was such an honor to be able to be there. But I've got a nice interview coming up in the fourth segment we'll play that I taped while I was out there with Mr. Imperato, and we'll talk a little bit about Henry Arms and kind of talk about their business, because they are helping us so much, and who doesn't love a nice lever-action rifle anyway?
Oh, man, it's like how the West was won. It's pretty cool. These are octagon barrel, and they got a special serial number on them. He gave us two of them. What was it, a 30-30 and a 45-70?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and these things, we're going to be auctioning these off. You know, you're going to want to stick with us and listen about when we get that arranged, too. We've got a couple things up our sleeve where we're going to be able to pull everybody together.
You'll get a chance to bid on those, and you'll have to outbid me and Jop, because I think we both want them pretty bad. But we look forward to the competition on that. I just watched with my father-in-law the other night a movie called Silverado. And it was the Henry rifle that won the battle scenes in that movie. If you ever get a chance to watch Silverado, it's on the Western Channel on Encore. It's an awesome movie. Just loaded with stars. But so if you get a chance, you want to see a Henry lever action rifle in action, check out the movie Silverado, because it's all brass. And just like the ones we got, they're gorgeous. But, you know, an American company supporting troops, You got to take your hat off and salute people like that, because, I mean, he gave us like $1,400 guns, two of them. So please, by all means, keep an eye on that. They're down at Allen Bob's right now. You can go down and look at these rifles. They're prominently displayed at Allen Bob's and South Division in Grand Rapids. They've been helping us out with them. They actually received the shipment because that's how you have to transfer them. And when they go on auction, we're going to have a lot of fun making money with those. And we've got cards from the Bonefish Grill. He's given us a bunch of gift cards, a bunch of dinner packages, golf items, and we still have gift cards from Chase Creek Smokehouse in Chase, Michigan.
Ooh, that's a
fantastic
place.
So we'll get this auction tied down in the next couple of weeks, and we'll give you the location, and we hope you all join us for a fun night.
All right, winter's about done, and we're going to be checking out some frozen finds in your freezer. Pull them out, cook them up, because the spring is coming. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hey, Jop, I'd high-five you on that last play, but I can't. My plate's full, and I got my beer in the other hand.
Hey, Bob, you need the Super Tailgate Plate. It holds a bottle, a can, or a glass, plus all the fixings in one hand. Whether you're tailgating, partying, or at home sitting around the campfire, you got a hand free for anything you need to do.
Wow, Jop, where do I get mine?
You know what? At thegrillingguys.com, we've got them. Just click on that Super Tailgate link. And they're available in 12 and 4-packs.
Now that's a game winner, baby.
You bet. Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hope you're having a great weekend. Mother Nature is starting to loosen her grip a little bit on this winter, and we're going to get a little spring fever here. Approaching the 1st of March, and you know what? I kind of got an itch. And one of the things that I try to do every spring is kind of clear out the freezer this time of year.
Good time to do it.
So that, because we get a lot of meat throughout the spring and summer and fall, and we use most of it, but some of it gets put in there. Somebody brings us a bunch of birds or whatever from a trip or my fall hunting trips. I got game left over, and now's the time to kind of clear that out. So we're going to dive into that a little bit in this segment and talk about maybe some recipes that, for the little surprise you find in the bottom of the freezer. And the first one, I'll take it, Bob, and that's my bacon-wrapped pheasant. You know what? Pheasant is a very lean meat. Generally, you can keep them whole, but you end up eating pretty much just the breast. Even the thighs are a little bit chewy, so it's breast meat that we usually do this with. And if you go to thegrillingguys.com, you're going to get this recipe, so you don't need to get a pencil and paper out. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing anyway. But basically what I do with these pheasants, they're frozen solid. I'm going to thaw them out, okay, and then we're going to brine them. And what a brine does is I'm going to make a sugar and salt brine. The recipe is on the website. You just search pheasant on thegrillingguys.com, and you'll find this. But I'm going to brine these with maybe some aromatics, put a little garlic in there. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm just wondering, do you take the wings and the legs off?
Nope. I'm going to leave them all on because I'm only going to serve the breast, but I'm going to keep the cavity because I can then, what I'm going to tell you about is after I get them brined, I'm going to wrap them in bacon, and that whole body cavity works really well to keep everything together, and I can put some seasoning on the inner side of the cavity of the breast, and it really smokes down really nice. But I brine these things for about 12 hours. You'll see that I put them in a bag and put the brine in the bag, and then put the bag in a cooler with ice above and below it because I want to keep that brine cold. And then about 11th hour of the brining, I'm going to pull those my smoker out, get it up to 250. When I take the birds out of the brine, it's really important to rinse them off because you don't want the liquid on there. You just want the part of it that penetrated into the meat that causes the moisture and it'll drive in some of that sweetness and the saltiness from the flavor. So then I've got thick cut bacon is what I use on these. A lot of times when we smoke, we use thin. I use the thick cut because the pheasant breast is very dry and very lean if we don't cover it completely with the bacon. And I wrap thick cut bacon around it, and then I just set these things on that smoker in about 250, and you'll know when they're done. I can use a thermometer. You want that breast meat done at about 165, but you'll see that that bacon will draw down on top of that, and it just turns out like these little beautiful breasts of bacony, pheasant-y love, man. And it's like it's an all-day deal. It's actually a two-day deal. You should brine them overnight and cook them the next
and
day.
And I think the bacon is such a critical part. If you go to the Grillin' Guys Facebook page and you look at posts by people that put it on there, my friend Patrick Taylor, I told you last week that one of my dealers in Wisconsin actually found us because of the Grillin' Guys website. He was looking for a goose jerky recipe and found that there. Well, when I went over to visit him a few weeks back, he actually brought in one of these pheasants, and there's a picture he posted on our page, and it's on his Primo Grill. His name is Patrick Taylor, and his post was from February 8th, but there's three gorgeous pheasant on there. Dude, I ate one of those. It was, and it was cold. He brought it in, you know, like the next day or whatever. We tore that thing apart in their office cold. It was so stinking beautiful. So that is a great method, and you turned me on to that. I don't hunt pheasant very often, so I don't end up with them unless you give them to me.
Right.
And it's a great way to do them, and most people ruin pheasant.
Right.
This is how you got to do it.
Yeah.
And it'll be so good. The bacon on the outside, he used a nice thick bacon, which I normally wouldn't recommend, but it worked perfectly because he probably toothpicked them on there. But just check out that picture of those three birds on his grill, and you'll see exactly what Job's talking about.
Good stuff. Now, Bob, you're a much more avid deer hunter than I am, so I'm betting this time of year that you're digging around in the bottom of the freezer and you come up with some sort of venison roast steak burger, something that's like the forgotten package.
Yeah,
down
you don't
there, right?
want to, you don't want to forget that stuff because it's so dear, right?
Ah, good one.
No, yeah. I mean, you paid a dear price for it, and it's a lot of work. You're traipsing through the woods, you're dragging it out. I process my own, so there's
upside down.
Yeah, there's so much work to processing one if you do it all yourself that you probably got $40 a pound into the meat by the time it's done. So what you don't want to do is find it like 2-3 years later and have an aw shucks minute. Just last week or a week before, I brought some venison to my son Jordan at Olivet College. He's living in the apartments there with three other animals, and I actually walked into the apartment, and I probably should have left my shoes on.
Did you have your mask on?
The kitchen was quite a sight. Kitchen was quite a sight because the top of the cabinets were all empty liquor bottles. So I don't know how he's keeping such a great GPA, but anyway.
Well, you learned from the best, Bob. We'll just leave it at that.
I brought him some venison steaks and some chops. And a bottle of Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO.
Ooh,
and a little can of spices from Original Juan, some of their barbecue spice. And he texted me, how do you do this? We actually got him he's got a nice little grill. It's a little on the weak side. But we got him a nice cast iron skillet for Christmas, and you were there.
Right.
So he's really getting into the cooking thing, as all my kids do. And so he's texting me for some hints because he's going to make these venison steaks for his buddies and didn't want to.
Ooh, pressure's on.
Yeah, didn't want to screw it up. So, you know, we're texting back and forth. He texted me about 9 o'clock at night and he said, Jake and the boys are going nuts over these venison steaks. So here's what I told him to do. Thaw them out and take your time thawing them. And if you process your own meat, get those little wax paper sleeves and put them between the chops so when you pull them apart, they come apart a little easier. And wrap them in plastic, then wrap them in freezer paper. That's the deal.
Plastic wrap like Saran or cling wrap? Yeah.
And then freezer paper, nice and heavy. You won't get freezer burn, even if you have a crappy freezer that wants to self-defrost all the time. Mine's an old one. You have to defrost it. That's the kind I prefer because it doesn't heat up and melt the ice.
Right.
That's where your freezer burn tends to want to come. So you take it out plenty of time in advance, and you leave it wrapped up for maybe 8 hours on the counter. Then you start pulling it apart once it starts softening up, and you put it out on a plate or some kind of a cookie sheet, and you rub the whole thing up nicely with oil, and you let it continually thaw with that. I use infused oils. If you like garlic or any of those Tuscan or anything like that for a profile, put your oil on it and let it continue thawing. Now, if you're going to grill it or fry it, when it comes down to the salt, there's something critical you have to do with the salt. You either put it on 2 hours in advance or you put it on right before you throw it on the grill, because that salt will want to do an osmosis thing to the blood, and you'll draw a bunch of moisture out if you try 20 minutes prior. So you want to let it set for 2 hours so it can go through a complete cycle and that liquid redistributes, or do it right when you put it on. I'd recommend doing it right when you put it on, right, so you can't screw up. And you either pan fry it or throw it on the grill. But with those lean venison cuts, whether it's moose, elk, whatever you're cooking, caribou, or even just a nice piece of beef, you'll want to bring that thing to no more than medium rare, because it's lean and you're going to dry it out.
And if you follow Bob's tips, you are going to have a wonderful piece of meat to serve your buddies. And that's what happened with Jordan, is that he's like,
he's a hero now.
Yeah, he's a hero. So, but you know, the pressure's on now, because the next time he makes it, he's going to think he can do it, and he's not going to call you, and he's going to forget something, because you know what? He's a college kid.
There's a curse.
That's the way it's going to work. But
no, the real pressure's on his brother Alex, because Alex will now find out that we're talking about him. So he's going to want to make sure he gets on the show.
Oh, coming up next, we're still going to run around the freezer and see what we can find, because I found some fish from 2014's ice fishing season in the freezer, and I thawed it out, and I made something out of it, and it actually turned out okay. So we'll break that down when we come back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Jim Crank, and I would like to personally invite you to visit Cranker's Restaurant and Brewery. With three locations in Grand Rapids, Mount Pleasant, and Big Rapids, Cranker's brews award-winning beers and has one of the finest menus in the Great Lakes. From our barbecue brisket to our junkyard omelets, Cranker's is the ultimate microbrewery experience. I believe if you eat good, you feel good. Visit crankersbrewery.com. That's crankersbrewery.com. Eat good, feel good. Cranker's. Yeah!
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Beer City USA.
The grilling guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
This is Jop from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
Welcome back. You listen to The Grilling Guys on The Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in this weekend. Here we are at the end of February. We're knocking on the door of spring, and what we're talking about are those little tidbits of, what was that? Or, geez, I didn't know that was in there, when you're in your deep freeze. And we're going to clean that stuff out and help you salvage a little bit of it.
Is that a human head?
Yeah, right. No, that's head cheese. Yeah, you can cook that. You got to grill it extra well done, though. But Barbecue Bob, I found some 2014 crappie joppy.
There's a reason they call them crappie joppy.
Yeah, in the freezer, and I'm like, ooh, this is over 2 years old. But you know what? I said I'm going to give it a run because the way I take care of the fish after I get them cleaned and I put them in the freezer is that thing was in a gallon bag, double bagged with water in there, and they were frozen suspended in the water. So I really never have to worry about any freezer burn whatsoever. They're, you know, it's kind of this little cryogenic state that they're in, and they're just frozen in there. And then I just took them out of the bag, and we were talking about this during the break, is that you take them and put them in the sink, take them out of the bag, and then put a little salt water, you know, fill the sink up a little bit, put a little salt water in there, and it'll help do two things. One, it'll melt the ice a little bit quicker, but two, it's almost like a little bit of a brine.
And then
for the
when
fish.
I do that, I usually use like a room temperature water. I don't use hot.
Correct.
And I don't use cold, but that ice is going to cool off the water in there fairly quickly, and you do want it to thaw. You don't want it to take 10 hours because then you'll get into a danger zone with your meat. Fish, chicken, real sensitive to the danger zone on temperatures.
Absolutely.
That's anything above 41 degrees.
Right. Great tip, because you want it just to thaw out, and they'll start floating around in there. And then, you know, there's always a little ball of them in the center that are the last to thaw. So just walk by the sink every once in a while, grab the ones out that are thawed, maybe dry them off a little bit, and then put them in the Ziploc bag and put them back in the fridge till they're all.
So how'd you cook them?
Well, I just deep fried them, man. I love it. And, you know, our friend Captain Ken from Gyra Charters, he's my go-to guy when I want to do fried fish, because the guy cooks walleye every day, and these crappie certainly aren't walleye, but they can be cooked the same way.
And they're
already
pretty small fillets, so you, what, cut them in half?
Right. Yeah, you know what, because that's
they're
where
so
I was
small.
Going with it, is I love these things like a little potato chip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 350 oil, I leave them in there. When they float, they're done, right, and you batter them up, and we can talk about that at another show, the battering, but... the point is that I usually leave them in there, let them float for maybe another 30 seconds. I usually, when they start to float, I pull them out. But then it just crisps them up that little bit more. And these little thin fillets, they're like eating potato chips. Oh, man, are they
good. I'm so hungry, I can't stand it.
Yeah, you put a little salt on those, and it's like, man, that is a treat.
Now, another way to do that, like if you have a little bigger fish, like some walleye, or if you maybe been to Alaska and you come back with chunks of cod or halibut or anything like that, you can cut those up into little cubes. And bread them as cubes. Do the same thing. Fry them, deep fry them, however you want to get them done. You can even bake them, actually, if you want to, in a real hot oven. But then you can make fish tacos. And I love fish tacos.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit firmer fish for those so that they don't fall apart when you're rolling them around. Or are you just leaving them on like a cookie sheet and then just letting them cook like that and not moving them?
It just, you know, if you drop them in the heat quick, they tend to firm up real quick. So... I tend to like to do it with steelhead because that's one of my favorite fish.
Uh-huh.
And those, again, a small cube and just a little bit of breading. Progresso breadcrumbs work really nice. And then you pull them out and you hit them with a little Mrs. Dash and lemon pepper. Oh, man. So good.
So they're just damp, and you're just rolling them in those
Progresso breadcrumbs.
Those crumbs,
yeah,
right?
They're so good.
No egg wash, nothing like that, right?
No.
Exactly.
Keep all the junk off them.
Right. Why not? Why not? You know? So what else, man? We're, you know what? All of this, all of those things are great, healthy food. And our friends at Snap Fitness always are advocates of us eating a little bit healthier, getting a little bit extra exercise. And they've come on to help us share with you some of these great recipes and great techniques that we've done.
That's right. And if it weren't for sponsors like Snap Fitness and all these great sponsors we have, we wouldn't put the show on because it costs a lot of money to build a radio show. And with people like Snap Fitness behind us, it's awesome. And also they're helping us get in shape. And what I like about Snap Fitness is I have a card. I swipe it on the door. I go in whenever I want. I've actually got a personal trainer. His name's Jason. He's a former Marine. And he whips the crap out of me every Saturday after the show. And he's a brute, and he's not easy on me. But you know what? I'm not losing a ton of weight. I'm building muscle. And so I'm converting all this flab into something a little firmer. So when I walk, my boobs don't jiggle.
Damn, I'm going to miss that.
Well, it feels nice to start getting some strength back. And I notice, like, when I'm cutting wood, like when I'm shaving these logs, which I like to do, if I get 15 minutes, I just run out and peel a couple. My back doesn't hurt like it was.
Sure.
And the love handles are
melting. Strengthening that core.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. A couple weeks ago, we talked about your smoke shack that you're building. So how many of these logs are you going to need to draw the I mean, there's a big pile there, man.
I've got them about half done now, so I've probably done around 40, and I got about 40 more to go.
So you're drawing
and
the bark off.
They're not big. They're only 8-9 inches around.
Pine.
They're small. Yeah, because they're the tops from what they trimmed for the telephone poles. They cut them off our hunting property up at Whipple Lake, Ted Baucamp's place. So it's just, they were, you know, it's something this big machine comes in and buzzes a tree down and runs it through a conveyor belt and chops 8-foot, 3-inch sections for the rest of the leftovers. And there's just beautiful log sections, and it was killing me that they were laying in the woods.
I see. So you went around, plucked them up.
I kept hauling them back every time I'd come home.
So did you do the math? You got enough of them
to
make the cabin?
I do. And like I said before, your partner in Home Life, Brad the Builder, gave me some great ideas and actually changed the way I'm going to build it a little bit and took a little bit of a load off me because I was kind of sweating it. I've never built a log house, and that's just not
Yeah,
something.
We built a few of them, so he knows. He absolutely knows. That's exactly right.
Well, log homes were actually brought into the U.S. By Finnish migrants. So that's another bit of my heritage. So that's kind of one of the reasons I want to build one, is just to prove that I can.
Yeah, that, and it's a place to go outside and sit around the fire when you're not in the weather, right?
And I get to buy another chainsaw.
Right. Yeah, there's that. And I notice you're calling it a grill house.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a grill in it, or is it just you got to walk by one to get to it?
I'm replicating the stone grill from, if you've ever seen pictures from the Salt Lick in Texas, they have the coolest big, they've got a giant one about the size of our studio table here, but it's this big round fire pit with a crank above it that cranks the grill up and down, and it's all wood fired, and it's all wood fired, and they do sausage and ribs and all kinds of things on it. Well, I'm just going to have a small version of that, and I've got lots of stones on my property, so it'll be masonry. It'll be forever. It'll be awesome. I just can't wait to get it done.
I'm sure I'll be toting a log or two when the time comes.
I'm counting on it.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, if you can't work, you can't play, right?
That's
so
right.
I'm going to want to sit in there at some point.
You're going
to
have to hit Snap Fitness a little harder, though, and get that back built up.
Right. Well, coming up next, Barbecue Bob has been out east, and he had a visit with one of our sponsors for Operation GI Barbecue, the owner and founder of Henry Repeating Arms, and you're going to want to listen to this interview with him, because this is one generous, patriotic dude that is all behind our Operation GI Barbecue, and we're so pleased to have him as a sponsor, and we're very, very happy to give him a little love on the air. You've been listening to Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in this week, We got one more segment. You're going to listen to Mr. Imperato. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I don't know, Bob, Snap Fitness, I guess I got to embrace that a little more than I have. You've certainly taken it on, but I have to admit I've not been snappy about getting there, so I'm going to have to do that. But you were out east, and you had an opportunity to talk with Anthony from Henry Repeating Arms. What'd that sound like, man?
Well, let's play this tape. This is earlier this week in New Jersey.
Hey, this is Barbecue Bob, and I am sitting in a giant factory in New Jersey, and it is called Henry Repeating Arms, and I am talking with the president, Anthony Imperato, and I just want to thank him, and I know all you listeners that support Operation GI Barbecue are appreciative of all these manufacturers that have stepped up and given the way Americans are so good at. And just first of all, I guess, just want to say thank you, Anthony, and welcome to the Grilling Guys show for a second time.
My pleasure to return. Nice to have you here in New Jersey at our company headquarters.
Yeah, well, it's quite a facility. You're sitting right along the river. What river is this?
It's called the Kill Van Cull, and across from the river is Staten Island on one side and then the New York City skyline on the other side.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I drove by a gigantic shipyard in Newark on the way in here, and it's quite different than the Great Lakes area, but we do get a few great ships there, too. Just want to talk a little bit about Henry and the weapons you're making, how you see the industry, and why the average guy. I know so many people that want Henrys. What is the lure of Henry Repeating Arms?
The lure is really our DNA, which is a real personal connection to the consumer. That's what Henry fundamentally is all about. That's why if you go to our website, you're going to see folks enjoying and using, and our rifles and photos of people around the Christmas tree, giving them as gifts, etc. It's all about the customer, and that's really what we're all about. Beyond that, you know, we're a heritage brand. We're an American heritage brand, and actually the lever action design itself is America's unique contribution to firearms design. The lever action was developed here in the United States. You know, it's, if you go to a bolt action, for example, it was made, originally designed overseas. The lever action is the American firearm, and I think that with the image of the cowboy and the Wild West is what our heritage is all about.
That's pretty cool. I never really thought about it, but it makes sense if you look at all the arms manufacturers around the world. I guess I'm not used to seeing any other real makes with lever action other than Henry and Winchester. That's, and well, I guess Marlin. There's probably quite a few of them now, but
U.S. based, though. The lever was designed here, and if you look at all other types of firearms action design, we contributed the lever action design. It's the American firearm design.
That's really awesome. So roughly about how many different models of guns do you make here?
Currently in our line, we have 80 SKUs, but we're a lever action manufacturer. Other than our Henry U.S. Survival Rifle, which is the backpack takedown rifle, and our line of Youth 22 bolt action rifles. But within our lever action designs, we make everything from 22 long rifle on up to 308 now. So you could get everything from a plinker to a long range lever action that will compete with accuracy and distance of a bolt action rifle.
And as I look on the wall here, I see a gorgeous brass engraved lever action. And to me, that really, I guess, reminds me of the traditional Henry. Is that sort of the original look for a Henry rifle?
Sure. The brass and wood and a lever action and an octagon barrel, that's what it's all about. It doesn't get any better looking than that, if I must say so myself.
Well, you were kind enough to send us two for Operation GI Barbecue, and just wanted to personally thank you for that. Touches us greatly when people step up and help us the way you did. They're on display at our favorite gun shop in Michigan, which is called Allen Bob Sports, and we're preparing to have an auction so that we can find some good homes for those and raise the last little bit of money to complete our mission. But all that being said, and you know, probably enough gun talk, we're the Grilling Guys, and we love to grill. Guys love to grill. I'm on the East Coast. I told my wife this morning, I said, I'm going to eat seafood every day while I'm out here, because there's something about this Atlantic coast and all the great seafood out here. Do you like to grill seafood?
Sure. You know, I consider myself a foodie, and I grew up in my grandmother's house, and my great-grandmother had a restaurant in Little Italy in downtown New York City at the turn of the century. So food is probably, you know, other than my family and employees and customers, one of my favorite things, certainly. So grilling, even as a kid, I would fight with my father to get over to the grill before he can. I wanted to do the grilling, and today I love it. I have an apartment in New York City, which has some outdoor space, and it's very rare, but I've got a grill right on that outdoor space, and I would say whether it's swordfish or lamb chops, they're going on the grill, and it's a great way to go.
All right, I love swordfish. I mean, absolutely, if I am at a restaurant that knows how to prepare it properly, I will eat the bejeebers out of swordfish. It's just, I don't know. I guess since my first fishing trip in the Keys, I absolutely fell in love with it. And there are some things you can do to make that properly, and there are some things you can do to screw it up. Yeah. Tell me what you do.
I'm careful not to overcook it, for sure. I want it coming off the grill where it's still a little rare in the center, because by the time you plate it, it'll eventually cook through but still be juicy. So I'll start by a little bit of olive oil on both sides of the fish, a hit of pepper. I don't salt it. I like the swordfish's natural salt. It goes on the grill on high heat, seared both sides. Again, it comes off not completely cooked. It'll just be a little touch of pink left. It gets in the plate. I hit it with a little more olive oil, some garlic, lemon juice, and some oregano or marjoram. Sits for a few minutes. Let it rest. so it doesn't, let's say, bleed out like a steak might, and it's just going to be fantastic. I mean, it's, that is gold to me coming off the grill.
Do you have any idea how hungry I am right now? Marjoram.
Yeah, you know, the Italians use marjoram. It's one of their staple ingredients, actually. It's in the oregano family, if I'm knowing my herbs correctly.
That's interesting. I've never tried marjoram on fish. I do like putting a little thyme on them, but, you know, you said it, pepper. I do like a little sea salt on it, but I've never tried swordfish without salt. I'm going to try that and see what that does. But hitting it with a lemon at the end just wakes it right up. Have you ever grilled oysters?
I have not. I'm an oyster fan, and, you know, just cold on ice, a little mignonette with it. That's really been my way to go. I have not done that. You know, putting the swordfish steaks are on the grill easy. I would imagine that grilling the oysters, you've got to really be paying a lot of attention to make sure you've got it right.
Yeah, and if I get a chance while I'm here, I'm going to have some Long Island oysters, because those things are absolutely fantastic. And I don't grill oysters. I know some of my buddies out here do. I just like them raw. So, I mean, I can't imagine ruining a good oyster and throwing it on the grill. Now, what would be, like, you do lamb chops?
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing that I love to do on the grill. You know, everybody's heard of Parmesan or eggplant Parmesan, for example. But I was in southern Italy, where my family is from, and I watched this family take eggplant, fresh tomato, a little bit of grated cheese, basil, and olive oil, and put it in a tin and get it on the grill covered. And they told me this is what real eggplant Parmesan is all about on that grill, with the smokiness coming through from the fire. Absolutely incredible way to do it. Really delicious. So I do that as well on the grill. It's fantastic. Really, really nice. And I do love the lamb chops. Again, I like to sear them. Lamb chops are like coming off medium rare. Same thing. You know, I like hitting them with the lemon to bring out the flavor. That's kind of a Mediterranean thing. You know, the lemon, olive oil, garlic, whether it's Greek, Portugal, Italian, south of France, Sardinia, wherever, those ingredients work. There's a reason why it's a go-to in all of those places.
All right. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. This is Barbecue Bob. I am at the Henry Repeating Arms Factory in Bayonne, New Jersey, and with the president, Anthony Imperato, and I can't thank you enough for the generosity you've given us. We're complete strangers to you, and to help our troops out with that kind gesture. Those beautiful Henry lever-action rifles will be going up for sale shortly, and we just got to give you some Grilling Guys love.
Oh, you're most welcome, and it's just a small token of our appreciation for our American military. We can never do enough for them. And I really enjoyed your visit. I'm glad that you got a chance to stop by, because we discussed my two favorite topics, guns and grub. So it doesn't get any better than that.
All right. And you got some nice Operation GI Barbecue Stormies. So I guess you're all set. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Come on back.
Wow, Bob, that had to be a great experience going through an arms factory. I've never been through one of those. I'm going to jump in your bag and go with you the next time you head out that way, because...
Oh, it's right up your alley.
Oh, man, sounds really cool.
And you like, you know, making things and manufacturing things anyway. You manufacture backyards, so this would be right up your alley.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a little bit of man work, so it's time for a little man law.
Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan, home of the best pasties in the Lower Peninsula.
Gravy.
Yep, and they have gravy for all the ladies.
Yeah.
Real men use ketchup. That should be Man Law.
Okay.
I think I just made that.
You just made it up right there. Real men use ketchup. All right.
Okay, today's Man Law. And if you're hanging out at the gym, locker room, whatever, this is a good thing to remember. No man should ever help another man with his belt.
Absolutely.
As we know what that is.
Right.
What do you mean by help?
Yeah. Yeah, Bob.
Like if you miss a loop, you know, is it okay for someone to come along and say, hey, you missed a loop there?
I think if you have to explain man law.
So what are you saying about me?
call your mom.
Well, thanks for listening to the Grilling Guys each and every week. We hope you had as much fun as we did, and we'll talk with you next week.